What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the Texas Street Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Hello, everybody. Why did Seven hate Tekken?
Why?
Because Tekken 8, 9.
Wow.
There we go, everybody. Why did I introduce you first? I don't know. Out of the corner of my eye, it looks like you're next to me. But then I looked here and I'm like, no, you're definitely another person down. Person next to me, of course, is the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What up, Tim? How's it going?
It's going good. Going good. Love we just recorded here. An amazing Kind of Feudy episode.
A must-watch Kind of Feudy episode.
Yeah, the season finale of season 7.
season 7, yeah, of Kind of Feudy.
Kind of Feudy. You should go check that out, of course, patreon.com/kindoffunnies, where you want to go.
Why do we have seasons? I don't know.
Why do we do anything? Yeah. Because it's fun and we can. Isn't that right, Michael Higham?
Yeah, seems like y'all are having a lot of fun over here. While I was over somewhere else having fun playing an exclusive game preview that y'all did not get hands on with.
You got little hands, you got your feet. You kick a lot in Tekken, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. There's two buttons dedicated to kicking.
Two punches, two kicks. Switching up them combos. Yeah, we're going to be doing a little Tekken 8 preview today. Really excited to hear Michael's thoughts on all of that. But, of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. Our Resident Evil 4 review just went up last week. You can check that out. Of course, we got a whole bunch of cool stuff coming on. Expect a whole bunch of previews, reviews, predictions, all the normal stuff you've come to know and love from Kind of Funny Games in the next couple months as we head into Summer Game Fest and maybe E3, maybe not.
You thought?
I doubt it.
I just don't know, you know? But we'll see. Whether it happens or not, we will be here talking about video games.
What was your reaction when you saw the news pop up today as the time of recording, but yesterday as the time this show drops? Everybody's pulled out of E3's headline.
I mean, it's just wild, man. Like, it's... I can't wait for July to be able to look back and see how everything actually shook out. Like, what is E3 going to be? Real quick, around the table, does E3 2023 happen?
No, absolutely not.
Andy?
0% chance.
0% chance.
Y'all, for reals?
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
I'm sitting at a 60% it's happening at this point.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim.
But what's there?
I don't fucking know, but I think they're gonna do it.
It's the ball pit.
I thought my pullout game was strong, but
E3, though.
Games industry is on another level.
Yeah,
woo.
You know, shit is wild.
I expected a couple of food trucks.
Yeah, it's a couple of food trucks. They got like, I don't know. Yeah, a ball pit.
Selling some churros.
A ball pit. They got like, but the food trucks are selling. They're selling the food for Firefest. Like just the sorry ass looking bologna and cheese.
It's not much different than a normal E3.
Exactly.
But, you know,
without the games.
Yeah. God. What a world we live in. But hey, there are games we can talk about, and we're going to do that here, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com is where you can get the video versions. If you want it as a podcast, search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games cast, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free and watch live as it's recorded, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers, Delaney Twining and Tripod Plus Plus. They get to watch the Kind of Foodie we were just talking about, and it's excellent. So hey, you can join them. patreon.com/kindoffunny. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money and Shady Rays, but we'll talk all about that later. We have a fighting video game renaissance upon us. We've been talking about a little Street Fighter 6 in the last couple months. Tekken 8, the hype is real. You got to play it, Michael.
Yes.
What'd you think?
Ooh. I'm into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hyped.
You had me with the there.
Oh, I was like, I'm tasting it. I'm ready to for the full meal of Tekken 8 because I got hands on preview. It's an early build of it, but I fell in love with Tekken all over again just from playing the preview build. So I have a long history with Tekken. So I grew up on Tekken. Shouts out to my brother Johnny. He was the one who always like introduced video games to me. We talk a little bit about it when we're talking about Crisis Core a couple months back. But him and I played a lot of Tekken growing up. So Tekken 2, Tekken 3, we threw hands all the time. We was in training mode. We were learning all the characters. We were doing some wild shit with Yoshimitsu, Mokujin, like all those wild characters.
Who's your main?
Huarong, for sure. That was.
Oh, you're one of them ones.
I love Huarong. I could do air juggles with Huarong. Like that.
Are you doing the 10 hit combos?
I could. When I was like 10 years old, I was nice with it. I didn't know where that came from, but yeah. I grew up a lot of Tekken. Tekken 4 was a transformative thing for me because back at home in San Diego, where this is Tekken 4 was out in the arcades when I started, when middle school, high school. So I was going to the mall. I was going to the arcades with my friends. And I played a lot with San Diego Tekken, SDT. So shouts out to Mark, man, who's now like the brand manager for Tekken and Bandai Namco. We grew up in the same neighborhood. I used to play Tekken 4 with him in the arcades when we was, he's older than me, but like when we was all kids. So the Tekken lineage is very strong. And Tekken 7, like I didn't play Tekken 5, 6. My video game tastes kind of changed through the years, but Tekken 7 came around. It was actually the first game that I covered for when I first got hired to GameSpot. And that was pretty wild because my first industry interview was Katsuhiro Harada. And came back around and I let him know when I went to go preview Tekken 8. I was like, hey, bro, listen, you were a big part of my life, man. I play a lot of Tekken and you were my first interview and when I was in games media. And he's like, oh, shit, that's what's up. And that was the extent of it. But yeah, every time I go to Evo, we love seeing some good-ass Tekken. Shouts out to Tasty Steve, who I saw at the preview event as well. So Tekken...
Sounds like one of Mike's friends.
Yeah, the roots run deep. But yeah, getting hands-on with Tekken 8, I fell in love all over again. There's a lot of, I guess, smaller details that make Tekken feel fresh. Because my first impression when Tekken 8 was announced was, what can they possibly do to make Tekken feel fresh again? I felt like Tekken 7 had been the pinnacle of the franchise. Where do they go from here? All the characters felt very balanced. It was complex enough. It was fun to watch at Evo all the time. It's been 8 years since Tekken 7 came onto the scene. And even just last Evo, we were still out there, full crowd, stadium full of people getting hyped off of Tekken.
It's still one of the most exciting games to watch at Evo.
Hell
like, I remember
yeah.
watching it 2019. And Arson Ashe, that's when he was having his run. And he was like this dude that came out of nowhere that was kicking ass. And that was the one game that I had tuned into where I was like, I can't take my eyes off this. Like, it is such a fun game to watch. And it's a game that still brings in the hype when you're talking about fighting game community coming around and watching a game.
Yeah, some good ass Tekken. There's nothing like it. But Tekken 8, I think, is going to push the bar in some interesting ways that I think veterans and people who are like deep in the gameplay mechanics of Tekken are going to be surprised about. So I can get into all that. I don't know which direction.
That's what I want. I mean, my first question for you is, you being such a big fan of Tekken 7, what is the biggest difference with 8 initially?
Okay. The first thing I'm going to mention is what's called the heat system. It's another bar that you have to manage. It's another meter. And the heat system, which is brand new to Tekken, they got rid of Rage Drive. That is no longer, there's still Rage Arts, but there's no longer any Rage Drive. And that's been replaced by the heat system. Mm. So how this works, let me see if I can kind of explain this a little better than in previous conversations. But so the heat system is something that each character gets once per round. And you can activate it at any point. And so you have a 10-second window to use the heat system. And there's a couple ways you can do it. You can initiate it with a powerful input, like an attack, a special attack to initiate the heat system. Or you can just press a button and you can do a little move and it'll transition into the heat system. So if you use what's called a heat engager, which is a powerful attack to start your countdown, you can follow it up with a heat dash and you can spring into a huge combo. So this is kind of a way to give players a little bit more of offensive tools, because I think that's one of the criticisms of Tekken 7 was it can be a very defensive game. So if you watch some high-end matches, there's a lot of hunkering down and playing defensive. So what the heat system does is it gives each player an opportunity to have new offensive tools. And it also, while you have heat active, it gives gives certain moves for that character special properties. For example, some of King's throws are inescapable under heat. June, who was just revealed, I played a lot of June Kazama, and she's like one of my favorite characters in Tekken 8. Going back to Tekken 3, it's really cool to see her again. So she has other powerful attacks where it takes some of her health away when she uses those attacks. So it's a kind of a high risk, high reward thing with her. But under heat, it doesn't take away any of her health when she uses some of those powerful moves.
And her outfit's fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And for another example is with Kazuya. When he's under heat, he has like a devil transformation and his moveset completely changes. So it's like this extra layer of offensive capabilities that was never a part of Tekken in the past. And you think of other fighting games, they always have different meters that you manage, and you have supers and all these other mechanics. So Tekken has that now as well. And I think the way that they've implemented it, at least from what I've seen so far from just the 10 characters that they've shown, it adds a very welcome layer of complexity to the Tekken formula. So this plays just like you remember from Tekken 7 and previous entries, because Tekken is very consistent. Some of my tendencies when I was playing Tekken 3 all the way back in the day, those things still kind of matter now when I'm playing Tekken 8. But with this heat system, I have to think about each character and how I can take advantage of this new mechanic. And I also, as you know, if you're playing a high level, you need to account for that when you whoever you face. So if I'm playing June and I play against like King or whatever, and they go into heat mode, I'm like, oh, they can do X,
I hate
Y,
that it's
and
called
Z.
Heat. I hate when you say they go into heat.
Heat, yeah.
Especially when it's with, like, with oh, the little heat. Kitty King.
Oh, Kitty King, he's in heat. Oh, now his throws are inescapable. yeah, it's pretty wild. So, I mean, on paper, it doesn't like sound like much, but once you actually get hands-on with it, you're like, oh, shit, this opens a whole new world.
How does it change the flow of the match? Because you mentioned they took away the rage drive system, yeah. Which in Tekken 7, when your health gets low, right, you start blinking red a little bit, yep. And that then opens up certain rage moves. There's like the rage arts, which I always get them mixed
up.
You
still have rage arts.
You still have rage arts.
But you don't have rage drive.
So rage drive is which one is rage drive? Which one is rage art?
Rage drive was, I think it was, I can't remember. Recall it was similar to where like you have different I think you have like different moves or different attack properties,
yeah.
under rage,
like powered up moves, yeah. And then is the other one like the get out of jail, like
it
you
was
press
a super
a, super, yeah, okay, you press super. The button and then you do like a kind of a grapple, yeah. Move or whatever, and
it's set up as like a comeback mechanic,
yeah.
So you don't have rage drive, but you have rage arts.
Gotcha.
So you still have that wild super move that's going to do like 33% of your opponent's health bar. And you're still going to be glowing red when you're down to like 20% health or whatever that thing is. Couple things there is that introducing the heat system, instead of having rage drive, it puts the players in much more control of when they want to use it, rather than like, oh, well, there's this whole mechanic that I can't use unless I'm in a really tough spot or I'm about to get KO'd in this round. Now it's kind of like, okay, how do I can incorporate this into my moveset, into this match, however I want. I could start the round doing that. I can tee that up into a combo. Or if we're like playing football.
Wait, sorry, you said you could start the round with it. You don't need to build the meter at all?
No.
Got it.
Every character has access to activating heat at any point, once per round. So you can do it straight up at the start of a match. You don't have to build it up. It's just you activate it and it starts counting down. So you can incorporate it into the middle of the match. You can incorporate it while you're juggling in a combo. So it's up to you how you want to use it. So it gives players more control over how they use their character. Now, when it comes to the rage arts, they completely revamped the animations for the rage arts. Y'all need to see some of this shit, man. Because before in Tekken 7, the rage art was like this. Oh, he does like a... I don't know, they do like a wild, like powerful punch, and the camera slows down to zoom in on that on the hit or whatever, and then it keeps it moving. They have like a whole cinematic cut for these things. It's like Dragon Ball FighterZ or like Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm. When you hit a rage art, it's like the camera just does some wild, it like cuts it, it goes into this its whole cutscene alone. I think one of my favorites.
Did that seem like it might get old? Like, was it like pre-canned stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that you mention it, I think it can, because you're going to be using rage arts all the time. You're going to be doing this every round for every match. And they are a little bit drawn out. They're fun to watch the first few times. And I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch in pivotal moments in a match or during hype moments. But when you're constantly using it, like players are going to be constantly using these rage arts, I think it might be a bit much. But they went ham on that thing, man. Because I think Lars is one of my favorite characters to play as in 8. I didn't play much of him in 7, but he basically does like Sasuke's Chidori, and he does like these lightning strikes, and then it's like anime as hell. And then he does like he zooms past in the screen, and he has like his head down, or whatever. And there's a lightning storm behind him and shit, and it does all this damage. It's like a 10-second cutscene. I'm like, I love this bullshit. I would not love this bullshit if I'm getting my ass beat or if I'm the one on the losing end of that. But it really feels like they're introducing new production values into it as well, not just from a mechanical standpoint. It's like, oh, we also have new animations for rage arts. We have beautiful stages with new types of destruction.
Does it feel like a step forward? Because you mentioned that, yeah. Tekken 7 came out what, 8 years
eight
ago?
8 years ago, man. In arcades,
like,
yeah.
In arcades, right, came to console, at least in the U.S. in, like, 2017.
2017, yeah.
And it's been a while, and I know, like, talking to people, right, like, I still think, I look at Tekken 7, I'm still like, oh, yeah, this looks really good, but
yeah.
When you look at it now, there are parts of it that feel like they look dated. Does this look like it's a PS5, mm-hmm. you know, current-gen type title?
Yeah, I think it does. When you look closer, when you actually play it, and when you look at the closer details, you could see how the special effects have been ramped up. But the stages just feel like they have a lot more depth in what's going on. I think there's like a stage in Times Square, New York, and it's like, you know, there's a lot going on in the background. There's new types of stage destruction, like I mentioned. The one with June's trailer that just came out, they show her fighting in like this beautiful forest river area. It looks really nice.
Yeah, the
looks
water fun. Splashing around there. I was like, damn, that's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, they have a lot more effects, and it looks beautiful. And for it to be able to run, it needs to run in, you know, at least 60 FPS, 4K, I imagine. So yeah, it really does feel like a generational step up.
A step forward, not a sidestep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, because I forgot that this was a 3D fighter, by the way. I was playing this thing, and I was like, oh, I could sidestep. I forgot about that. Because I play so many 2D anime fighters, like, that's my bread and butter. So it's been a while since I played into Tekken, so I was like, oh, you could sidestep and shit. This is a 3D fighter. but yeah, the game looks beautiful. The character models have been revamped. There's just a lot more detail, and it runs smooth. It runs great. It looks great, and it's gonna be fun as a spectator to be seeing this game in action. And like I mentioned, those rage arts, they put a lot of those look expensive. We were talking about Final Fantasy 16 before with like the big icon battles and all those battle transitions. It feels like Tekken 8 is doing their own version of that with all rage arts. Yeah,
Andy, you had your hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to know what this sort of marked for the future of Tekken, because. Like, I'm looking at some sales numbers, and I'm kind of shocked by this, just because I feel like Tekken has always been this sort of game that's been around and has been successful, but I didn't know it was as successful as, like, 10 million sold as Tekken 7 did, right? That's, like, that's a pretty large number, especially for a fighting game, right? How do you think that do you think Tekken 8 takes that next sort of step into bigger, more massive sales, or do you feel like maybe other fighting games are going to sort of take the spotlight here?
I feel like Tekken has the longevity, it has the brand recognition, and it has the community to be sustainable long term. Like, I don't think there's ever been a fall off since Tekken 7. It's been growing and growing. And the thing too is that Tekken 8 is simultaneous, or it's releasing on console straight up at first. And Tekken 7 had a 2-year gap before it came to consoles. So this being, I guess, maybe, I'm not 100% sure, but maybe the first Tekken to come out on console first rather than arcades is kind of a big deal. And it's going to give the game like a really strong start. Of course, we don't know when it's going to come out yet. They still haven't put out a release date.
Do you get a vibe from playing it?
It feels like feature complete. Like, the stages looks complete. The characters that I play, there's only 10 playable in the demo, but their move lists
That's
are
10.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, the systems feel like they've been all figured out. So to me, it's just a matter of maybe they're still working on like story stuff, cutscenes, things like that, and working on bringing new characters and drip feeding us with new reveals and all that. And Tekken's rosters go deep. Go very, very deep. So 10 characters is nothing to the...
It's been surprising seeing them release new characters what feels like almost weekly, where I check Twitter and I'm like, oh damn, they revealed Lars, oh damn, they revealed June, oh damn, they revealed Law. It feels like they're dropping them at a pretty fast pace, and it feels like almost like they're getting there, where I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, hey, this fall, like,
do you think
get your hands on it?
I feel like it should be. I feel like this would be a good fall 23 release, just because I mean, they gave us a full like a preview of the game, and it's like, oh, okay, y'all are ready to start showing this. And the like you mentioned, the pace at which they're rolling out different characters is kind of like they figured all these things out. Now it's just a matter of figuring out the pacing of which how they want to market their game or whatever. So definitely going back to Andy's question though, I feel this is for the new generation. If I recall correctly, I don't think these are coming out on previous consoles as well. This is actual full generation push. So I think that's of course you're going to be missing out on a player base that are still on older gen consoles, but I think it'll have people more excited to jump into this game as like, oh shit, this is a genuinely like next generation fighting game.
Yeah. Really that looks fighting and game yeah, specifically,
that
lo- yeah,
that looks and feels like it's taking advantage of that hardware.
So with that, I mean, obviously we have to talk about Street Fighter. Street Fighter 6 coming out in June, and it also seems like it's going to be a great like kind of bring on point for new players, and it looks like it's going to deliver for OGs and people that have played along the line with it. But one thing that they're really focusing on is the more accessible side of it, of like making it fun for casual players to play a little bit more Smash Brothers style.
Yeah.
How, from your experience, was there something like that, or are they going super competitive?
I'm glad you asked, man, because I was going to bring up what's called Special Style. So Special Style is a lot of fighting games have simplified control schemes, and Tekken does too, and they call it Special Style. The thing about what Tekken 8 is doing with this is that it's a toggle in match. You can switch to Special Style at any moment while you're playing the game.
In real time?
So yeah, wow. In real time. You can just press L1 or LB, and your control scheme immediately switches.
Very interesting.
So it makes it a lot easier for casual players to jump in like, oh shit, I didn't configure or choose the control scheme that I want. It's like, oh, don't worry about it, because you could switch on the fly. It doesn't take any frames. It's not like an animation that a character has to do. It's just a toggle on and off immediately on the fly. So it gives players that they can press mash square and they'll do a cool combo, or they can press triangle and they'll do like a powerful hit, or they can hit X and they'll do a good like a strong low attack, or if they want to use their rage drive they can just press this button or whatever. So
is it like Street Fighter, where the devs of Street Fighter mentioned that, hey, yeah, you can go with this sort of simple style, but
yeah,
you're going to get more damage and you're going to get more out of going with the standard style of fighting?
It's kind of like that. And yeah, like Tim mentioned, Street Fighter 6 has that. And Guilty Gear Xrd had it too, with a stylish mode. The thing is that it strikes that balance where you have a very limited moveset if you're using Special Style. Like, you can only do a few combos, or a combo, I think. Or you can only do, like, one special powerful attack or whatever. So at least they have access to that. But it limits the possibilities of what they can do. It's not as flexible. But what I've seen, and what Katsuhiro Arata was telling me in an interview, is that their playtesting team have found ways to mix and match Special Style into regular play, since you can toggle it on and off on the fly. He mentioned that there are situations in which some players will, you know, they'll come down to the wire and they don't want to mess up or whatever. They don't want to like have an errant button input, and like that can call the match. So sometimes what they do is they switch to Special Style in that moment and say, okay, this is the combo I'm going for, so I'm just going to do it off of mashing square or whatever. So he said that he's seen people mix and match using Special Style. And because he recalled before, like, people playing Tekken 7, is that if they want to use Rage Art, they would have to do like a special button input combo. And he saw a lot of players just mapping their Rage Art to a single button, like a macro, because they don't want to mess it up in the heat of the moment. And that's kind of the energy that they're channeling with Special Style. Is not that just is this? This is a tool for newcomers to enjoy the game, for approachability, but there will be ways, at least from what he's seen and what he said, there'll be ways for higher level players to incorporate that as like another way to mix up their moveset. I'm not sure if that's going to actually play out like that, but it'll be interesting to see if players do end up taking advantage of the fact that they can just switch to it at any time. Mm. But yeah, that is it is a cool feature, because I know some people are like, damn, I need to go back to the controls. And it's like, oh, let's restart the match because I didn't pick the right control screen. It's like, no, it's just right there. So it's an interesting way of handling that. And we'll see how it plays out.
Andy,
did you play against the just NPCs, or did you play against other people in the press?
I had to play real people. There were I don't think they didn't have AI or computer controlled matches in there. So I was like, damn. All right, I guess I gotta I got to face Mitchell Saltzman from I got to face Maximilian and Tasty's Dan out there. Yeah. I played some of the folks from Bandai Namco as well. And I was actually able to keep up with Mitchell Saltzman. You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
he's more of a Guilty Gear guy. Yeah. He doesn't want to smoke in Tekken.
You know, I'm kind of nice with it. Mitch, if you want the run back, you know where to find me, bro. but yeah, him and I were trading blows. We're trading matches when we were playing. I really liked Lars in June, and I really felt like I got to figure that out. I think he was using King, and he was still trying to figure out how to use those different characters. So I was whooping his ass on the low. We had to play each other. But I think I liked that aspect. You know, playing different levels of skills and seeing how everyone is kind of learning it on the fly, because there are a lot of people. It's like, Brian Shea from Game Informer was chilling, and he was like, I haven't played Tekken since like Tekken 3, and I was like, okay, cool, let's throw hands, let's see what's up with it. It was fun.
How are the modes, or did they talk about modes? Like, they talked about single player or anything else that's in the game?
Nothing I can share as far as confirmed details, but I did ask about story. And basically Harada said, we're just doing some wild shit with the story. And he also framed it that
we're throwing everybody into the volcano.
Yeah, maybe, because he doesn't know. He comes sometimes. They say that, or he was mentioning that sometimes he like has other business to attend to. That he comes back and checks in on the development of Tekken 8, and he looks at what the team has done with the story. And he's like, "Yo, what the fuck are y'all doing?"
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah. So even he mentioned, he's like, "Yeah, I'm surprised by some of the wild shit that the team is cooking up." But I want to see Tekken Force. You know what I'm saying? I want Tekken Force and Tekken Bowling. If they don't got that in there, I'm gonna be pissed.
How's the music?
I can't recall. That's my fault. I was so focused. But I know
you're focused on winning.
I'm focused on winning, but I
focus on that dub.
What'd you say, Andy?
Mitchell Saltzman was in your head, bro.
He was playing mind games with me. I was focused. The music is gonna be incredible. I know that.
Yeah.
They were playing music in the background.
Got it.
So I was like, "Ooh, what is this? What is this pendulum? They're playing drum and bass."
Tekken 7 soundtrack they were playing back there.
Yeah, the soundtrack is gonna be dope from what I can remember. But it's a high bar because Tekken 7
soundtrack is off the chain.
Oh my god, those Infinite Azure songs, man, that shit is fire. But it's a high bar. But I have no doubt that Tekken 8 is at least going to meet that.
How do you feel about the roster so far? Like you mentioned you played as June, right? We know again about Law and like Lars and a few of the other characters. Does it feel like a solid roster so far? Are there wants and desires you have for characters they continue to announce?
Yeah. So like I said, there's only 10 so far that they've shown or who was playable. It was Paul, Law, Jin, Kazuya, King, June, Lars, Zhao Yu was playable. Zhao Yu was actually just announced. As of when this goes up. So Zhao Yu was just announced.
I was gonna say, I don't think they've announced Zhao Yu.
Yeah. We're okay to say that because we see into the future and we see that Ling Zhao Yu is now in Tekken 8. And I think
world
a couple others
premiere.
that Jack 8's in it, or the new Jack.
Have they shown Heihachi, or was Heihachi in the thing?
No, Heihachi.
Interesting.
Yeah, I can't wait to toss his ass in the volcano.
Question for you, character wise.
Yeah,
I haven't played Tekken since, like, seriously since 3, and then like I've dabbled a little bit with 4, and I don't think I played 5 and 6. Maybe I think we did a party mode for 7, Andy, but that was it. What's up with my boy Eddie Gordo? Because like I know he was gone from 4. We got.
He was in 7.
He was in 7.
He's in 7. Yeah. Okay, cool.
He's definitely got. He's got to be in 8. He's gonna be in the 8 roster for sure. That dude is. He's an icon. He's a staple of the franchise. But I want to make sure Huarong's in there because that's my guy. I asked about. Okay, so here's the thing. Josie is not necessarily a popular character in the broader Tekken lore. But I asked Harada. I said, "Yo, I know you say don't ask me for shit, but I asked them for some shit." I said, "Harada, Katsuhiro Harada, please put Josie Rizal in Tekken 8. Please, my Filipino queen, the one who matters most in the world of Tekken is Josie Rizal. Please put her in there for my people, for me, represent the Philippines. Let's go. Please, Harada, listen to me." But he was like, I think what he said back is like, "Oh, wow, we don't hear that often," and left it at that. And I'm like,
I'm rooting for you, man.
That's so funny.
Damn. So
I want to know about controls, because I've always been interested in fighting games. I'm not good at them. I enjoy playing them. And I know people prefer arcade, like having the stick and all that. I've never been able to feel confident in that. Like, I feel like just because I started with controller, I feel better with the controller, and I just feel like I don't have as much control over arcade machines. Mm-hmm. Where are you guys at with that, and what did you play on for this preview?
Ooh, I played both gamepad, PS5 gamepad, and they busted out a fight stick for me because I was like, hey, y'all got any fight sticks in the back out there? And they say, yeah, we'll get you one. So I played a little bit of both. I think Tekken is one of the fighting game franchises that you can really thrive on controller. I don't feel like there's necessarily any drawbacks in using controller. And I think that's been the way of fighting games more recently, is that, you know, they come out on consoles. Most people are going to be playing with a controller. Not everyone's going to invest in a fucking fight stick. I feel like games have kind of tailored a little, fighting games have a little bit, you know, tailored towards controller players without taking away the precision of a fight stick. So I prefer fight stick just because I feel more comfortable with that. Playing in the arcades, playing a lot of 2D anime fighters, I feel a lot more confident in my execution with it. But I was also playing controller, and after about maybe like 15, 20 minutes, I said, all right, I get it. And I think for a 3D fighter too, being able to have that precision of like, oh, I'm going to sidestep by tapping up or tapping down. And I think the way that button inputs work with Tekken, where I'm not necessarily doing quarter circles all the time or half circles. It's more like, okay, I'm going to dash and do this thing. I'm going to do a rising from crouch. I'm going to do a move like rising up from a crouch, or I'm going to backstep into to another thing. So I'm not doing all these wild directional inputs the same way I'm like doing in a Melty Blood or an Undernight, which are like two of my favorite fighting games. But so those games definitely thrive on stick. Tekken, I don't see any like discrepancy between, oh, you're a controller player, you're a fight stick player. And I think when you go into the competitive scene, you'll see that it's pretty much split between gamepad and fight stick. But I'm gonna stick with fight stick.
I think from what I've experienced, right, it very much feels like whatever your preference is, whatever you came up with, because I am not a fight stick person. Like, I very much prefer controller, and I think so much of that is I got probably more into fighting games during the PS2 era and PS3 era with like the Mortal Kombat games on PS2, but then in PS3, right? Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Tekken 6, and then, or Soul Calibur on the PS2 as well, right? Like, these are all games that I played with controller, and I didn't have the opportunity really to, like, get good at arcade. I'm right there with Michael, where for, like, 2D fighters, like, I've played a lot of Guilty Gear Strive when it came out, and, like, a little bit over the last couple of years. And there have been times where I've noticed, like, oh, man, I'm wanting to get this specific move off, and it's not, like, I'm not able to get it off the way I want to, but I still prefer that trade-off over having to relearn my entire muscle memory with a fight stick, so I just eat it every single time. But with Tekken, like, Tekken really is way simple comparatively, where, like, my movement in Tekken is, I'm dashing at an opponent, or, like, you know, it's more about the timing versus in Guilty Gear Strive, I feel like I have to like manage my space, and I'm dashing around and like making sure that I have the space between me and my opponent while being in the air, being on the ground, getting like the high jump in the air, dashing forward, doing the quarter circles,
jump
like
cancels.
Doing all this jump can. Like, I'm doing so much crazy shit in a 2D fighter versus something like Tekken, where Tekken, I think it really is. It really is to choose how you want to play, right? Like, the controls are simpler in that way, right? I think it's more so about timing and getting your combos right, and like trying to play that rock paper scissors game against your opponent,
maintaining your juggles. Tekken 4 machines back in the day had PS2 ports on the side of them.
That's awesome.
So you could bring, like, I oftentimes saw a lot of people bringing their PS2 controllers to the arcades back in the day because they had ports on them. That's, you know, Tekken is designed for controllers in that way.
Andy, I know you're more similar to me when it comes to fighting games, where, like, yeah, fun with them, but they're not your go-to. Are you excited for Tekken 8?
I feel like Street Fighter 6 is going to be the one Street Fighter or the one fighting game that I get really into this year, because I'm just not super into fighting games at all. Like I used to be back in the day when I was a lot more into following the FGC. But I feel like, Tim, I have time for one, and it's probably going to be Street Fighter 6. I might give this one a download and just check it out, because I love seeing, especially games that are meant for next gen. I just love looking at visuals, looking at character models and stuff like that. But I don't really intend to get super into this one unless, like, Unless Blessing pressures me enough, then I might.
I'm down to pressure you, honestly. Yeah. Like, I feel like this wave of fighting games is the best wave to get into because there's four big fighting games on the horizon, right? You're talking about Street Fighter VI coming out in June. You're talking about Tekken 8 coming out, hopefully within the year. You're talking about Mortal Kombat 12, which was announced to come out somewhere in the fiscal year, and then eventually Project L. And I think these are all games that...
Oh, Project L.
I think those are all going to have big audiences, and I think... Because of how things seem paced out right now, you might have time between each where, you know, who knows if you're going to be playing Street Fighter in the fall, right? Like, I think by that time, maybe it is time to move on to Tekken, right? And, like, maybe you will have enough time with Tekken where it is, all right, I've sunsetted this. Oh, Mortal Kombat's out. That's the hotness right now. Let's get into it. I think especially with the recent version of Andy Cortez that is into Souls games, that is into, like, these hard-ass action games. For me, that's the crossover that's kind of made it easier for me to get into from software games is the fact that it's pure mechanical, right? It's pure, oh, I am dying over and over again, but it's okay because I enjoy this experience of trying to get better and best my opponent, right? In the case of from software games, the boss.
Mitchell Saltzman is
Mitchell Saltzman the boss. Is my From Software, my From Software boss.
He's my Tekken boss. Yeah. Like, I got him good sometimes, but I'll be back.
I think I got so much good patience from losing in fighting games that helped me with Souls-like games. And I think it could work vice versa, where I'm sure, Andy, you've died plenty of times while playing Elden Ring or Dark Souls or whatever, that I imagine it might be an easier time coming through and playing a fighting game and building that skill because, you know, you have an idea of how to get good with mechanics.
It's wild how much more patient I've become as a gamer. Again, you know, Patient Pete is somebody who is a gamer that I found within myself, within my soul. And it's wild thinking about, you know, just the way I used to sort of see the process of learning and dying back in the day to now when we are playing Elden Ring co-op with Nick and Nick dies 5 times to a boss. He goes, fuck this, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. It's like, dog. Like,
we're just getting started.
Sometimes it takes 30 times to what? Like 5 times? Yeah, it's really, really wild. So, like, I am all about the mind game of the mechanics and watching fighters do it. I don't know if I'm necessarily into me doing that, but I love, like, I feel like this is going to be the year that I get even more back into Evo, like, because I feel like last year was kind of like the comeback year of me kind of getting back into Evo, knowing that we have all these big fighting games on the horizon. I feel like this coming Evo is going to be the one that I'm like, all right, it's going to be like SGDQ for me, and it's going to be like just random kind of esports.
I'm trying to go to Evo, the physical event.
Evo.
I'm trying to enter into Street Fighter 6 Evo.
Yes, sir.
Who's with me?
I'll be rooting you on, Bless. I'll be rooting you on, bro.
You could go 0-2. The feeling, like, I've said
before. No, I'm going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
That's my plan.
Going 0-2 doesn't, it's not bad. It's the thrill of pulling up to Evo and be like, even if I get my ass beat, I'm excited to be a part of the competition. I'm going to do the same for Melty Blood.
Oh, yeah.
This year at Evo, it's gonna be a good time.
Well, if you want to support Blessing going to Evo, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and help support us with those dollar bills, y'all. And if you do that, you get the show ad free. But for everyone else, here's a word from our sponsors. Any closing words on Tekken 8, Michael?
I just have I can mention like what they said about guest characters. It's not like
Akuma's coming back.
They got Negan on deck. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they don't. But yeah, that and I forgot to mention like one other thing about Heat, but like it's not crazy or anything. So
very cool. Well, moving on, I just quickly want to talk about Sifu Arenas because it came out. Sifu Arenas is of course Sifu, one of our favorite games of the year last year. I absolutely loved it, and I was really praying that we were gonna get some like DLC for the game. And we didn't end up getting the what I would have expected, which is like
a new
chapter
level
or two or something like that. But instead, they've been talking about this free update that just came out that has Arenas mode that is essentially just like a bunch of different challenge modes in the game. And when I first heard about it, I was kind of like, this sounds cool, but it just sounds kind of like, it sounds like a free update. It doesn't sound substantial. It doesn't sound like more of what I actually want from Sifu. But this morning I booted it up and I was like, let me just see what's going on. This shit's fucking awesome.
Let's fucking
guys.
Go.
Holy shit.
This is the best thing you can tell me after I watched John Wick 4.
Dude.
Because I've been in the mood.
timing this with John Wick 4, it's like, that must have had at least, somebody was like, we got to do this. Because That's exactly it. I was like, I feel like I'm playing John Wick 4 right now. Like,
let's go.
So what's really cool about it is like there's a bunch of these new there is new levels because you're in these different arenas. There's different game types where some of them are kind of like King of the Hill, where you go and you have to like fight against a whole bunch of hordes of people that are coming at you and like be the person that owns this space before moving on. And you want to get like 3 out of 4 of the spaces around the level. And the level design is pretty cool. It's just like the original game where it's like super, super stylish. And it's not as transformative as the levels in Sifu, but just the locations themselves are like, I mean, if you're watching this, you can see they're super rad. And the coolest fucking thing is one of the modes is just specific like horde battle things where you just face you one versus many, but they're like based on movie scenes.
Oh, so
what we just saw here.
Yeah, I know.
It's straight up based on the Matrix Smith fight.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a trench coat and it's raining and you walk and there's like that. 10 of them standing in a line and then one of them comes out and you fight and then it's incredible. And it's just pure hype.
Yeah.
And then like I haven't really played there's been updates, there's been costume updates and things throughout the year that I haven't really dabbled with. So I don't know what has been added the last couple months and what is new here, but there's so many costumes that are just they're just like, what's cool? Fuck it. Let's go for it.
Hell
like
yeah.
You can wear a version of the bomber jacket from Drive that Ryan Gosling wore. And I'm like, cool. Just see if it wasn't cool enough. Now I get to fucking beat up Agent Smith wannabes looking like Ryan Gosling. Like, come the fuck on, man.
Yeah. Bruce Lee.
And Bruce Lee outfit. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's just, again, it really felt like there was like, our goal is to just be fucking cool as shit. And this is cool as shit. And I can't wait to play this all night tonight.
Yeah, you've sold me on playing this as soon as I get home, right? Like, that looks incredible. And I had the worry of, okay, this DLC sounds really interesting. It sounds fun, but it doesn't sound, one, ideally exactly what I've been wanting from it. And then also, it's like, I'm not a big DLC person. Like, am I going to make the time to play this when usually I'm playing other things? Right now, honestly, like, I'm not playing that much else. This is the oh, my God, I'm watching this video. Dude. This looks fucking sick as hell. But, yeah, no, this is the best thing you could tell me. I think the idea of, having these different fight scenes based on movies, again, this is the best thing I could hear. Because watching John Wick 4, the only thing I could think of during that movie was, man, I wish there was a video game, like a John Wick video game, which there is, right? But like, I want an action game. Like, I want to get in. I want to beat somebody's ass.
Look at this shit. Look at this.
Oh, this is so cool.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. One of them, I don't know, FromSoft games. There's one level that's called Praise the Sun, which I think.
That's a Dark Souls thing.
So I don't know what that's all about, but sounds cool for you guys. Andy, you had your hand raised.
I was doing the Praise the Sun. Gotcha. Praise the Sun.
There it is.
Yeah.
Solaire.
They're doing something there. But the other thing is, I haven't played this game since last year, pretty much. It just comes back.
Does it really?
Thanks God.
That's why I love to hear.
It's like, holy shit. Like, I felt like John Wick, man.
Riding
I was like,
a bike.
This is fucking so sick.
Yeah, if you stay good, you don't got to get good.
I'm thinking I'm back.
Totally, man. Yeah. Totally. Andy, what's this do for you?
You know what? It's something that I'm super interested in now, especially knowing that I have an even beefier PC to kind of run all this shit on. So it's like I've been going back and downloading just older titles for the hell of it to see like how much I could push it. Plus, when all of these new updates come out, it's not just content. It's usually better optimization and stuff like that. And I remember when this game released on PC initially, there were some hitches and it wasn't like the perfect 60 frames per second experience. I think I was getting like 70 frames and I would dip down every once in a while. So I'm excited to check out performance enhancements, but yeah, all that stuff looked a lot cooler than what I initially thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and the thing is, at the end of the day, it is what we thought it was going to be, which is just, hey, you're just there and a bunch of people are coming at you and you're fighting. But it's Sifu, so that's fun. And they added the style on top of it where I'm like, okay, cool, that's really all that I actually needed. Like, I don't know that as much as I wanted more levels, I don't know that I need it. I think I get the satisfaction from playing this, so really excited about that. But Andy, staying in line with the PC performance stuff, I love it when the background matches up for this. You're playing a little bit of Last of Us on PC. What's your experience been like so far?
Yeah, I installed The Last of Us PC today, game provided by PlayStation. Thank you, PlayStation. Appreciate y'all. I know that there seems to be a lot of technical issues that people are having online. However, I am like the 1% of the 1% and I have a 4090. So I haven't experienced really anything yet. I ended up running the game in full ultra settings on the ultra wide, so it's like in 21:9, running gorgeously. It looks amazing. I haven't noticed any issues yet, but I do know a lot of people are having issues with mouse and keyboard controls. I haven't really done enough to really give a full to have a full verdict on it, but so far it is like somehow it looks even better, and I don't quite know how. And these people are Wizards, and I know that Iron Galaxy worked on the port, and it seems like PlayStation already put out, or I believe Naughty Dog put out a statement already. Yes, we know there's issues. We're sorry. We're working on it. So I think Blessy made a good point of maybe this is why they just sort of released the port immediately the day of release. Like, we didn't get early codes for it, so that might be why. Maybe they knew that there were some issues. Who knows? So far, I haven't experienced anything too bad up until now.
That ultra wide.
Yeah.
Quite
sick.
It does.
It's wild. Yeah, it looks very, very, very good. I sent Roger a trailer in assets. That, and if he could bring up, that'd be great. If not, totally understandable.
I think you just brought it up, right? Gotcha.
Viewfinder is a game that I played at GDC, and I got to talk about it a little bit on Games Daily. Viewfinder is like, the best comparison I can think of is like showing a gamer VR for the first time without the game being VR. Like, it feels like it is.
Oh, this is like some Superliminal type shit.
This is the dopest thing.
Viewfinder is a puzzle game that you take you use a Polaroid to take photos of, and it's really, really tough to describe to audio listeners. So please just look at the trailer in order for it to make sense. But you take photos, and you are able to turn the photo whatever way you want to sort of manipulate the world that you are traversing. The second trailer might show this in first person, right? The second trailer I sent Raj might be a little bit better of a representation, but it really feels like it is broaching into new areas of gameplay that haven't really been experienced before, similar to what Superliminal did. Again, like, this feels like something you could show gamers and be like, hey, this is something you've never seen before in video games. Check this shit out. It works so smoothly. I played the demo of it at GDC. I was blown away by how well it worked. Again, we saw this trailer at one of these, I believe it was an Xbox presentation. So we knew this game existed. I just wasn't sure, how is this going to work in practice? How is this actually going to feel in your hand? And is it going to be super janky? It is not. It is the smoothest thing ever. It is just insanely intuitive. And really, whatever you want the world to look like from the photos that you're taking, you can make it happen. It's mind-boggling, man. I don't even, like, I was just blown away by this demo. And this is one that immediately I need to, like, I'm putting this on the list is, okay, you're going to have to check this game out.
So I just saw it's Thunderful Games, which, we keep talking about this. Thunderful, man, they're on the up-and-coming list. Like, they are all-stars, dude. Like, they
had their booth. They had they had Planet Alana there. They had another kind of, like, side scroll that I don't quite remember the name, but it was Viewfinder that I remember seeing there, and I was asked to go play it. It's insane. I can't believe that it works as well as it does. If you're into puzzle games at all, or if you're just into games that are like really trippy and kind of explore new areas of gameplay that haven't really been seen before, this is one to definitely look into.
Yeah, I'm adding it to my PlayStation wish list, which I didn't know I could do. Actually, I didn't know I didn't know PlayStation had wish lists, but I just did it. Yeah, that looks exactly like my type of puzzle game. Like, it looks like Superliminal, it looks like Manifold Garden, right? If you're into like the first person type weird solutions, trippy, you're fucking walking through paintings type shit.
A million different ways to solve puzzles. There's like a lot of them. You are trying to generate power to turn on this little like sort of telescope device, and in order to generate power, you have to like drop these batteries onto, think of like a charging pad, right, for your phone or something like that. But you might have one of the charging pads, or you might have one of the batteries, but you need another. So you go find the other, but it's behind a wall. Or you could take a photo of that, take it back to the charging pad, and place the photo in real time, and then like make it go upside down, and then it'll just like fall into place out of that world. It'll like objects just kind of fall from where they were. It is so fucking trippy to witness in real time.
Yeah. It reminds me of Antichamber
as hell, man.
Antichamber is one of my favorite indie games like ever.
Yep.
I fucking love Antichamber.
Antichamber is sick as hell.
Yeah.
There's a really cool Easter egg that they showed me where like you end up seeing an image of what looks like a Mega Man video game and you take a picture of that and then you could like walk into the Mega Man world in 3D now. It's so bizarre. I don't think it's like exactly Mega Man. I don't know if they have a license or whatever, but like it looks, they have a lot of a bunch of nods to
homages
like older gaming
stuff.
Titles. Yeah, homages. It's really awesome and just freaky as hell.
Dude, the amount of art styles we're seeing and like how seamlessly they work together, it's kind of mind blowing. And like, yeah, you were talking about the Mega Man thing, but we even saw like PS1 era, like first person shootery looking levels and stuff. Like, man, this is awesome. Is there a release date for it?
I'm not seeing anything.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Well,
no.
Stay tuned to this one. This is the type of game where just looking at that trailer, I'm like, if this comes out this year or any year, whatever year it is,
sleeper,
I bet you it's going to be on my top 10 game of the year. Cause like that, it just looks freaking
It looks
awesome.
Genuinely new. Like never done before. I mean, we've had games that play with perspective, like Antichamber, like Echo Chrome, which I love. But this is some next level shit. And I would love to do like post release interviews with the developers. Like, how the hell did you pull this off?
Yeah,
oh. Yeah,
so cool. Bless, I've been pressuring you for a while now.
Yeah,
to play a little game called Metroid Fusion because you kept being like, oh, the review season's happening. I have a little lull right now. I want something small. I just wanted a little experiment. I'm like, 4 hours, bro. 4 hours. You just beat Metroid Prime.
I did.
You got to do the 1-2 punch.
Yep.
You've been playing it.
I loved Metroid Prime. I had an absolute blast with it. And yeah, I was just hanging out at home and I was like, okay, well, like I'm bored. Like I want something to play. And then Tim Getty's voice in my head was like, oh, Metroid Fusion, pick up Metroid Fusion. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, let me boot it up, see what it's about. I started playing it and I didn't stop playing it. Like,
Let's
go.
Metroid Fusion is dope as hell. So like, if you've somehow lived under a rock this whole time and you miss Metroid Fusion, as it came out on the Game Boy Advance the same day as Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Day and date with Metroid Prime, right? So two Metroids released in one day, and it was one 2D one, one first person revolutionary one.
And they interconnected, and then you could use the fusion suit in Prime.
Yeah. So I've talked about before that I'm not a big Metroidvania person. Metroidvania is not a buzzword that gets me excited. Usually, if anything, if I hear Metroidvania, I'm like, all right, cool. I guess I'm going to get lost in this game forever. Like, usually I roll my eyes a little bit, right? And I know that's probably blasphemous to say, but it's true. And even with games like, Metroid Dread, I enjoyed Metroid Dread, but I enjoyed mostly the boss fights in Metroid Dread, right? Like getting lost were like my least favorite parts in these kinds of games. So far in playing through Metroid Fusion, I've been enjoying it the whole way through. Like even the parts where it is solve where you need to go, figure out how to solve the puzzles of where are the explodable pixels in the room, right? Like what walls, what floors do I need to explode to then get to the next part? Usually that stuff annoys me, but I think Metroid Fusion is so well designed just in how it like keeps everything in pockets, and it keeps you
very linear.
It's very linear. It has a lot of devices to keep you moving forward. So you're not like, oh man, this isn't the room I'm supposed to go to. And then you go back and then you lose your way entirely because the way the game is divided up into like these different sections of this map you're on. You have a navigation room that you go to, and that'll always give you an objective that is, hey, right now, the thing you're looking for is in section 6. Go to section 6 and get to this room right here, right? And so you know exactly where you need to go in this smaller area, and you can get lost in a smaller area, and it's great, right? Like, you don't feel like you're in this hopeless pursuit of, like, okay, what the fuck do I need to do? So I enjoy that first and foremost. But then also, this game could have came out yesterday. Like, it's kind of crazy how, one, beautiful this game looks for a Game Boy Advance game, right? Like, the pixel art looks fantastic. The environment art looks great. The way Samus moves in the game feels great, right? Like, I've not really had any complaint so far about, like, the way the game runs or looks or anything like that. It feels like a modern game, which is wild because, what, this game must have came out in, like, 2002, 2001, mm-hmm. somewhere
2002.
Around 2002. Yeah, and like it does not feel that way. Like it holds up completely. Even playing it on my Nintendo Switch OLED as a Game Boy Advance game, that is the thing that's impressed me the most so far.
It's colors, man.
The colors pop so well. The enemy design looks so great. The boss design I enjoy so much. I think the bosses look fantastic. And then there's a story here that I'm actually engaged with, which I was not expecting, where you'll get certain moments where maybe you're going up or down an elevator and then you'll just see like you'll have like a zoom in of Samus and then texts that are like, And then the SAX started invading the whatever thing, right? Like, and you'll get like certain like glimpses into Samus's mind of like, oh yeah, and like, and I was talking to my commander, and my commander called me lady, and like all this weird stuff that I was not expecting in terms of Samus's background, but then also weird shit that's going on in the environment itself of this weird. Oh yeah, Roger's on it. Roger's pulled up one of the exact moments I'm talking about, but and I think this might be the one where he talks about being called lady. But yeah, moments like this, and then moments where you'll see a cutscene of another Samus in the area where like there's another Samus called SAX, I believe, that's fucking shit up, right?
And making the suit from Super Metroid chasing you down.
Yep, it's the Samus suit, you know, that is chasing you down, making life difficult for you. And they have this whole narrative about these. I think they're called X, I believe. The non-Metroid Metroids, basically. It's like the rivals of the Metroids, essentially. And yeah, everything that's going on in this game from a story perspective, I think is super cool. And then, yeah, it feels like a nice bite-sized way to experience Metroid. It's funny, you mentioned like four hours. I look at how long to beat and it says 5 hours. I don't know what my progress is right now. It doesn't feel like I'm making good pace. I think I've played maybe about three and a half hours, and I'm like, I feel like I have so much game left in front of me, but I don't want to put it down. Like, I'm still enjoying it at this pace I'm going at. And yeah, like, more and more in the last year and a half, I've found myself getting more into Metroid, and I did not expect this.
Yeah. This is the best timeline for me.
I have not been a Metroid person. Like, I've been not anti-Metroid. I've just not cared about Metroid is the thing. Between Dread Prime and now this, I'm like, fuck, man. Metroid might be good. Like, Metroid might be a good video game series. And
who's to say?
What I'm excited about for you is after this. So this is Metroid 4. Like, when you start the game up, it says Metroid 4.
Mm-hmm.
And Metroid Dread says Metroid 5. They remade the original Metroid, Metroid 1.
Yeah,
Zero Mission after they put Fusion out. And Zero Mission is actually my favorite of the Game Boy Advance games. It is so good. I fucking
what is that?
Do you not agree?
Oh, no. I love all Metroid. Mm. And Zero Mission is definitely up there.
Zero Mission is so damn good.
What platform is Zero Mission?
GBA.
On? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that we get it next. And I think you're going to really enjoy that one because it's real good. But I mean, yeah.
I cannot believe I'm a Metroid person. Like,
you did it.
The thing I like about this one, too, is I was expecting it to be the same slow grind of, all right, you're going to get the ball ability. All right, you're going to get the bomb. All right, you're going to get the missile. Now the super missile. And there is that. But they do it at such a quick pace that it doesn't feel like it's wasting my time. And I don't feel like I always know what's about to come next. And so, yeah, like, shout out to Metroid Fusion for doing its thing, for existing, and being a very good Metroid game.
Oh,
love that. And then, just real quick, I want to end the show with some PAX stores, Michael. You went to PAX East. What'd you play? What'd you do? Who'd you see?
I saw a whole lot of friends. I saw a lot of homies. And that's basically what I did all of PAX East. I spent a lot of time just chilling with people that I wouldn't see otherwise. So shouts out to my boy Alex Van Aken.
Hey.
Shouts out to the boy Jesse Vitelli. Shouts out to the boy Eric Van Allen. So many other folks. I got to see the homegirl Jess Reyes for the first time. She's been on Inverse and did stuff for GameSpot and Fanbyte. Just a ton of people all around that either I'm just chilling with on Discord or I'm interacting with on Twitter. Every night, turning up in the Westin lobby, you know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Brendan Groom from Pass the Controller. That is my guy. He is a Boston native, and he came through. You know, don't tell the folks at Westin, but that fool came through with all the goods. Fucking coolers full of drinks to keep us sustained all night. Brendan Groom is my guy. Oh, man. But other than that, you know, this is probably the first convention I went to where I didn't have many, if any, work obligations. So I did what I wanted to do. I went to the Final Fantasy 14 panel. I went to the Final Fantasy 16 panel, of course, and I got to see, they showed off some new gameplay, actually. So half of it was the preview that I did as well. And then the other half was, here's what the open world looks like, or here's how exploration works, and here's some of the different things that you could do. Here's how the game transitions in different phases or whatever. So it was a much more public look at the game, and Yoshi P was actually playing the game. It was a live demo.
Oh, cool.
So he was like, yeah, look at me, I'm actually controlling the game, is real, and all this other stuff. So it was a ton of fun to be there at that panel to see that game in action again. Like, I got hands on with it before, but seeing some new stuff and the way he was explaining all the things and the crowd was going wild, it was just really fun to be a part of it. It was in the big arena too, at Boston Convention Center, so 3,000 people getting hyped for Final Fantasy 16. That was genuinely exciting. So I definitely was hyped to see more new stuff that I didn't even get to experience in my hands-on. But yeah, Final Fantasy 16 panel was probably the highlight of the show. I also got hands-on with Demon School, which y'all had for KF showcase.
Yeah.
And shouts out to the homegirl, Jenna Stieber. She's doing the marketing for that and former Polygon, and she gave me the demo, and I was like, oh, this is genuinely cool. New tactics, style of tactics game with some really good pixel art. So I got hands-on with that. Slay the Princess is a game. I don't know if y'all know what Slay the Princess is, but it's sort of this text-based adventure, sort of visual novel thing with a sketchbook art style, but it gets really fucking weird, like creepy, and it plays a lot. It's like a psychological horror type of thing. I got hands-on with that, and there was a big crowd around that game so here it is. Slay the Princess is you just have a bunch of different dialogue choices, and it dictates the branches of the way the story goes. I don't even know how many possibilities there are in the branches just from the demo. So that got a lot of steam on the show floor. Like, crowds were around that game watching and looking at the different choices that you can make. So that might be a sleeper hit. I'm not sure when that's going to come out, but keep your eyes peeled for that. But yeah, those are the main standouts right there. But PAX East was dope.
Does it feel like PAX is back in like full force?
I wouldn't say full force. I think like Nintendo had a booth there, but it was all stuff that we've already seen. It was just like multiplayer kinds of things just for people to do on the floor. Square Enix was there.
There was the Tears of the Kingdom like activation, but it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it was just like, yeah, take a picture with the statue. We'll have the trailer playing and all that. So there wasn't necessarily any big ticket items except for, so Square Enix didn't have a booth on the floor, but they did the 16 presentation. That felt like a big deal. Like, that's a keynote. That's like a marquee thing to have for a PAX East. So it feels like it is building towards that bigger notoriety. And with, you know, who knows what's going on with E3's future, you know, PAX East and PAX West feels like they're filling the gap that you would want out of E3. I know it's kind of a bummer, like, if E3 doesn't exist anymore, when's the industry going to get together to do the whole, you know, we're going to see new stuff, interview people, get together and go to the show floor and try new games and do behind closed doors and do panels and stuff. PAX has that. And especially this year, it may have been a smaller scale with what was on the floor, but with the presence of Square Enix, with some of the cool indie games or the smaller scale games that were just on the floor that you could discover, PAX is a ton of fun. And I think it's definitely filling that void for me who misses going to conventions and having fun. But yeah, that's PAX East was dope.
Hell yeah, man. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Remind people, where can they find you?
You can find me and all of my bullshit at Michael P. Hyam on Twitter. And I encourage you to go over to hit video game website, GameSpot.com, for my full preview of Tekken 8. I ain't reviewed that game yet. when it is time, you know where to find me. But yeah, you could find the whole preview written, all the details you would want out of Tekken 8 at GameSpot. Also, check out my Bayonetta Origins, Cereza and the Lost Demon review on IGN.com. That is my current game of the year.
Wow.
That's all I can say about that.
Very cool.
Bayonetta Origins. I love that game to pieces. So yeah, I'm out there.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for coming through.
Of course.
Andy, thank you for coming through as well.
Why was Seven afraid of Tekken?
I knew if I queued him up, he was going to have some bullshit. And bless, it's been a pleasure.
Seven, eight,
nine. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.
Tekken 8, 9.